Hello, everybody. Seven blessings, and it's about ready to end here. So, page 19 at the very bottom, yep. I actually have it on my computer. Yellow, orange, green, blue, purple. All right. See y'all who's here. What does it say? People present. 14 people are here. Nice kitty you got there, Brother Alvin.
That's what I use for Ali.
Yeah, opening and closing the hands, paws. Kitties are so cute. Just don't smell their breath. It's bad. Very, very bad. Have you ever had a kitty sitting next to you and it yawns? Yeah. I mean, eyebrow hairs, nose hairs, everything just starts falling out. Hey there, Brother Stephen. Brother, what do you see there?
In the green.
Oh, right there. Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, so's Fran. She's a dog person. There's a lot of reasons to be a cat person. For number one, you don't have to take them outside when it's raining.
Disagree. Disagree.
Or crazy cold outside.
Aww.
Oh, look at that.
That's so cute.
So.
That's the kind of dog I want, but it has to stay that size.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get right on it.
A miniature, or teacup chihuahua.
Yep.
Remember what I said? My little dogs were always potty trained inside.
Mm.
So,
yeah, we got to pray because the Sabbath breaks.
Right,
it's breaking right now, as a matter of fact. So,
okay.
All right. So, everybody know if nobody's, well, there's plenty of people here. I don't know who's not going to be here or who's coming. So, let's all kneel if you can. Yeah, we gotta. Oh, yeah, we gotta have. Oh, we'll talk about that in a minute with the mics. So, all right, bow your hearts, everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us on the Sabbath that's ending here, probably right now where we live. And well, it's supposed to be 7:01, but it's 7:02 right now. Just changed. Thank you for blessing us earlier in the church service with your presence and in our studies out throughout the week. Thank you so much for loving us and revealing your law to us in time so that we can be used by you in these last days to go forth. Please bless us with your presence tonight, Father, so that when we gather here and we read from this little book, that will help us to better prepare us to what's already begun in our generation. And thank you so much for this inside information and for turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and then turning our hearts to them so that we could study everything they studied up to. Thank you, Father. And we offer this prayer to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. We're all meeting in our own homes tonight because of sniffles. We don't want to sniffle each other out, so, you know, just to keep the bugs down. But now's as good a time as any to mention, you know, the way that we do turbo on POGM, to where when someone's talking, all the other mics are muted. We got to start doing that with Telegram. Because is, you know, like when someone has a thought, and I know I do this. If I'm having a thought and I'm sharing something, and then sometimes I'll pause for a second or two or three, and then I'll go into the thought. Like anybody does that naturally when they're sharing. And, but then someone else might jump in that has their mic on before, like at the same time, okay, the thought comes to me and then I start sharing because I haven't finished my thought yet. And then two people are talking on top of each other. So we got to, you know, and that's been happening a lot lately. And so what we, now when we gather, like when we're all in the same room, like we usually do with the word of the little flock, it's, really not much we could do about that because it's a room microphone, like a conference mic. But the way we do it now with Telegram tonight, because, you know, one of us has got the sniffles, it just, I think it'd be wise that, that we, if we're not talking, to mute the mic. And that's what I'm going to do. When I'm done talking, I'm just going to mute my mic like I do on Turbo. You know, you just turn your mic off because you never know if someone's going to sneeze, cough, or fall down the stairs. You just don't know. These background noises can be very, very distracting, especially like if you're trying to share a thought and you're thinking about what to say next. And before you can get the word out, someone else thinks you're done talking and then they start talking and then boom, you lose your train. So we'll just start doing that. If everybody agrees that that's okay. Okay. Okay, so. All right. Now, the mic, like when I muted here, I just shut it off and then it shows muted, right? Let me just see. Yeah, when I shut it off here, it shows it's muted, just like Turbo. So because if it's on, someone's going to think that you're going to start talking or something like that. That's why I'll do it. But, yeah, well, if somebody's falling down the stairs, I think I want to hear that. You know, say, are you okay? You know. But, oh, yeah, yeah. And since we usually don't start until like 7:15 anyway, read the thing that Sister Hannah put in. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? All right. Yeah, we were talking about the other worlds. I just emailed it to myself, so thanks again, sister. But I'm going to read it to everybody here, but I got to scroll up to find it. There it is. Unless Sister Hannah wants to, well, I'll put it back in the room. Let me just see if I can. And I know you can't, it just says the copy, like if you hit right click and it says copy message link, but I know most browsers, you're allowed to bypass that and use the old-fashioned DOS copier, which is Control C. Now that's in the clipboard. Oh, Gabriel already did it. Or Isaiah. I don't know. These guys. These young whippersnappers. Anyway, let me read this to you. It says, while we rejoice that there are worlds which have never fallen, these worlds render praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ, for the plan of redemption to save the fallen sons of Adam. That's us. Think about that. And then she says, as well as to confirm themselves in their position and character of purity. The arm that raised, and now this is another, you know, slap to the forehead, like, whoa, never knew that. She says, the arm that raised the human family from the ruin which Satan had brought upon the race through his temptations is the arm which has preserved the inhabitants of other worlds from sin. Mm. Every world. What was that? I just heard a noise.
Sorry, just go ahead.
Okay. So, all right. So, okay, where was I? Every world throughout immensity engages the care and support of the Father and the Son. And this care is constantly exercised for fallen humanity. Christ is mediating in behalf of man. And the order of unseen worlds also, wait. Christ is mediating on behalf of man, and the order of unseen worlds also is preserved by his mediatorial work. Are not these themes of sufficient magnitude and importance to engage our thoughts and call forth our gratitude and adoration to God? Amen. Oh, that was you, Anthony? Okay, thanks. I thought it was Lawrence because this thing is... Oh, he Lawrence's mic is muted. Oh, wait. Where'd Lawrence go? He ain't in here anymore. Maybe he fell out. Yeah, because when I looked up, Lawrence's mic was on, so I thought it was him. But I guess it was Anthony.
Yeah, but that just answers what we were all, you know, having questions about the other worlds from last
year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, amen. Thank you again, Sister Hannah. But Lawrence, yeah, when it just looked like you weren't muted because it wasn't muted in Turbo, like, you know, like how we do it in Turbo. Because I can hit this button right here, and I was muted. But it doesn't look like I'm muted when you look in, and it looks like I'm getting ready to say something, so I'll just mute it. That way the next person can just jump on. Okay, so I guess no one's jumping on. So, yeah, well, I'll just, like, I mute my mic when I'm done, and like some of you, like if you're done with your thought or whatever, you can just, that way everybody can just come in and jump in whenever they want. But when they see someone's mic unmuted, they're going to assume that they're talking. So we got to do it like Turbo because that's you. But when you're in a room with a room mic like we have, then it's not easy to do. All right, so we're on the bottom of page 19, starting with the word the. So I guess we can pick it up there, but let me get some water here, and then I'll read it, and then Brother Lawrence. Thanks, Lawrence. Please, yeah, thank you. Thank you for doing that, because that makes it easier. Like even on the Thursday night thing, too, yeah, because that makes it easier then, too. Okay, all right, so I'll start reading it here. I got it on my screen, but you got it, yeah, because my glasses, I have to keep taking glasses on and off. So we have to go to page 20 to get, oops.
Should we go back a little bit to remember what we were
on? Let's see. Well, the mountains shake like a reed in the wind kind of tells me where we're at. Eastern sky is splitting. All right, you want to go back a little bit, though? Well, we already read the verses, so Lawrence ain't got to read those, huh?
Didn't we do it the last time?
We did, but because it was a whole different context. Yeah. But to go back, we'd have to go all the way back to here.
Right, I'm just saying.
So, but no one could see where I'm at. All right. In the time of trouble. All right, so let's do that. Let's start at the top of the last paragraph on page 19 instead of going to the very last word on 19. That way we can get the context. And Lawrence, you ain't got to read all those verses again because we already read them last time. But be ready to unmute your mic, though, bro, because as soon as we hit page 20, we're going to need you. So, okay. So he's ready. All right, so in the time of trouble, in the time of trouble, we all fled from the cities and villages, but were pursued by the wicked who entered the houses of the saints with the sword. They raised the sword to kill us, but it broke and fell as powerless as a straw. You know what this reminds me of too? And I know this might seem a little harsh for some, especially if they were alive during the 1260 years. But a lot of the people that died during the 1260 weren't Sabbath keepers. Now, some were, of course, the Waldenses. They were trying to wipe them out and stuff like that, but not every one of them were obedient. And so there's going to be an awful lot of people that just don't know any better. They're going to make it home to heaven, I would assume. You know, but I can't read anybody's hearts just like y'all can't. And I'm wondering how many people of the martyrs in the coming days are going to make it and how many aren't. Maybe they had false sense of security kind of a thing, but I don't know. I think our Lord is pretty merciful. He winks. So anyways, she goes on, or he goes on, because this is James White talking. Then we all cried. Oh, no, this is, he's echoing his wife. Huh? Yeah, he's echoing Ellen. So then we all cried day and night for deliverance, and the cry came up before God. Now notice he says, then we all cried. I just noticed that. James White knows he's going to be there at the special resurrection because he was instrumental along with Ellen White and a lot of the pioneers of the SDA church to go forth in the three angels message. And thanks, Brother Alvin. Yeah, because I just said that he's echoing Sister White. But the fact is that she said, we all cry day and night, which means she knows that she's going to already mentioning the fact. And then, of course, he's echoing her, so he knows that he's going to be getting up too, you know, at the special resurrection. So the sun came up and the moon stood still. The streams ceased to flow. Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other. But there was one clear place of settled glory from whence came the voice of God, like many waters, which shook the heavens and the earth. The sky opened and shut as was in commotion. Now that's kind of, I can understand the opening, but the shut thing, maybe it's just kind of like, you know, like when the mountains are sinking and the islands are disappearing with their living cargo, like she said earlier. I'm wondering if the open and shut thing is just like he's splitting the planet in two or something, because just the way that, you know, when the sky scrolls back, it's going to look like the turbulence coming off the wingtips of airplanes, you know, the way the wind scrolls off the tips. But this is planetary. This is a whole planet being split. And again, this is just my opinion. I remember when the Lord moved us to think this way, I'm assuming, you know, when me, Brother Alvin, Sister Janisa, and Fran were all together. Was anybody over there? I think it was just us, yeah. Because Lawrence hadn't moved out here yet. So, but yeah, we were all pretty excited about that. But we'll find out when we get home, or when it happens, actually, better yet. We'll find out when it happens. So going to page 20, it says, the mountains, can you guys hear the wind? No, they probably can't, yeah. It's getting windy out. So the mountains shook, all right. So the mountains shook like a reed in the wind and cast out ragged rocks all around. The sea boiled like a pot and cast out stones upon the land.
Okay, so you can hear me, right?
Yeah.
All right, Habakkuk 3:8-10. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. And also Isaiah 2:19-21. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. All right, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was just going to ask, where in Habakkuk, because something was said there that kind of hit me. But I just noticed in chapter 3, because Fran told me, scroll up. I didn't notice you guys put it in the room. So let me go to chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Cleave the earth with the rivers. To this day, river cut through the land with ease. That's just my own little opinion there. But and obviously to make the bow naked is to release the arrow. You know, it's out of there. But let me just see. The Lord was displeased against the rivers. Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thine horses and the chariots of salvation? Chariots of salvation. Is that the arrow we're using? Somebody's mic is on. Oh.
did you say about the chariots of salvation?
The chariots of salvation. Because this is talking about the second coming, and so, because the Lord's saying he's not angry at the rivers. He's not, you know, his wrath isn't against the sea, it's against the people, obviously. And that thou didst ride upon thine horses in thy chariots of salvation. That's what hit me. That's the dead rising and us rising, you know, the 144, as far as I could see it. I didn't put any notes in it, and well, maybe I should have my other computer on, in case I need to put notes in. But I never noticed that before. Has anybody else seen anything there? Because that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. And then, of course, it has with the word Selah, which means to pause, because this is a song. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers, you know, because the rivers will cut right through the ground. You know, but, yeah, I know. Yeah, go ahead. Let me drop the mic. I'm sorry. I should have said, yes, Sister Danny, go ahead. I'll drop the mic. That's,
okay, hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as it says in about, is the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thy anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? Is it referring to the multitude, like the wicked multitude at that time that will be against the saints? Because we know that like the sea or waters represents people in prophecy.
Yeah, that does kind of connect there. And that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. I figure that especially at this time, if it's just prior to Christ coming back and it being during the time of Jacob's trouble, when like the pretty much the world is, the elements of the world are pretty much at displaced because he's soon approaching, and they're soon, the wicked will soon be destroyed by the hail that's the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, what Fran just said there, it is prophetic. It is we are in that time in regards to this quote. Oh, Sean has a thought. But yeah, that makes good. And so does Austin. Austin has a thought too. But I think Austin went first. So yeah, go ahead, Austin. Let me drop the mic here.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. So I could be wrong, okay, like, I see what Sister Danny was saying. I could be totally off with this, but this is just simply a thought, so I just thought I'd throw it out there. So it says, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? What makes me think of, for some reason, is, like, God isn't angry at, like, the trees and the rivers and the forests and the mountains that are destroyed, but he's angry at the people, like, the wicked people. But they're still going to be destroyed, like the trees and the rivers and the valleys and the mountains, and everything's going to be laid low. It's going to be desolate and with you know, without void and form and void, as Jeremiah says. But he's not actually angry at his creation. He's angry at the people, but the planet will be made new. We know that. So it's just a thought I had, but I don't know if it's right.
Okay, that's kind of like what I said at the start, but then when I heard what Sister Danny said, that kind of made sense too, because of the, you know, the many waters. But yeah, that's what I was saying in the beginning. He's not angry at the rivers, he's angry at the people. But then I'm trying to still connect, go in deeper with it in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 8. But what were you saying, Fran?
No, I was just saying, you know, because he used the rivers, the waters, and all that to dash
split,
destroy, and all that, you know.
The flood during Noah.
Yeah. Towards the end.
Yeah, yeah, he'll use that at that time too.
When we're talking about the last days here. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He's not mad at that.
He's using the elements.
Mad, right.
Yeah.
Using the elements.
Yeah.
Because he's mad at the people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like when the islands sink mm-hmm. at the second coming. He's not mad at the water or the islands.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people on them. Yeah. Okay. All right. I get you now. So, yeah, that makes more sense then, too. But still, that water's there. And so, yeah. Sean wisheth the speaketh. All right. Let me drop it the miketh.
Can you hear me at all? It looks like it. Yes. All right. Good. So what I was going to say is that kind of alongside kind of what Austin was saying, I don't think it's interesting, but like to say the waters and stuff like that is referring to the people. But actually, if you continue to read the rest of the chapter, it does bring up certain other physical aspects, because it talks about like the mountains saw thee, and it says that in verse 10. And then in verse 11, it talks about the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. And, you know, him marching through the land in indignation. So while it seems like it could make sense, but it seems like the context with him asking the question, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Like it sounds more like he's making a point. Like the reason all this is happening is not because he's mad at nature, but the reason all of this is happening is because he's angry at the inhabitants of the world. And I'll drop my mic.
Amen. Yeah, that's well said. So that explains it a little bit better, I would think, for everybody then. Yeah. And so, but praise God. Cause I saw that and I was wondering, as a matter of fact, I should put this in my notes in Habakkuk. I think it was 3:8. So I just want to add that to anybody else want to chime in while I'm typing away over here. I'll drop the mic.
I want to add, you know, I just posted Isaiah 24:46. This is one reason why the earth cry or mourn is because they, you know, break the law, God's law. It says the earth mourneth and faded away. The world languisheth and faded away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, had a curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So, there's also one in Isaiah 4:1-3. I want to add this one too. Hosea chapter 4:1-3 said, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery." So these are all breaking the law. "They break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." Yeah, just that's the one I can contribute.
Thank you. That locks it down. Because now we have scripture to back it up. So that at first I thought you said Isaiah. But so then I looked, I go, wait, Isaiah chapter 4:1. But then it's got to be Hosea. So, because my screen ain't scrolling up. You know, it's just not scrolling up when people put in stuff. So let me add that. I'm going to put down, Hosea 4:1-3, right? Hmm. I'm going to put Locke down in Hosea 4 verses 1 to 3, in fact. That was good. All right. Is there any other thoughts? Anybody got any other thoughts? If so, open your mic. I'll drop mine. I don't see anybody else. Okay. So I guess we'll continue. And the sea boiled like a pot. Because that actually happens today. There's I think it's in Ireland where they were talking about sometimes when the ocean gets angry, like if there's a hurricane. I think on that side of the country they call it a typhoon because it spins the opposite direction, which also proves the Earth's not flat. You know, but anyway, so it causes the ocean to get so violent that it'll literally spew out rocks up to a mile inland that are the size of Volkswagens. It's like, man, I don't want no shorefront property there. All right, so let's continue on page 20. And it says, and as God spoke the day and the hour of Jesus' coming, and then Brother Lawrence is going to read whatever that goes to.
Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I speak. Let me start again. Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And also Mark 13:32. Where our Lord says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.
Amen. You know, that kind of reminds me of, you know, the one verse where those preachers make merchandise on of the people, thinking that everything's copacetic with God, and, you know, it's like they ain't got nothing to worry about. But he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, you know, talking about the people in the pews, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You know, so it's what Ezekiel was just saying there. It's going to happen. That what I speak and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. A lot of people don't think that Christ is coming back. That doesn't make Christian prophecy any less valid. So let me finish this, and then it's letter Z after this. It says, let me backtrack so I can get the context of this sentence. And it says, and as God spoke the day and the hour of Jesus' coming and delivered the everlasting covenant to his people. Now, let me finish it, Lawrence. Hold on. Because then you could do Z and A or double A. And then he spoke one sentence and then paused while the words were rolling through the earth. So that's Z and double A, that the scriptures that Lawrence is going to have to read now.
All righty. Ezekiel 20:37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And Hebrews 12:22-25. But ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And A, let's see, let me get to it. Jeremiah 25:30-31. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Anthony.
Yeah, and after I share my thought, Brother Gilbert had said he had a thought as well. I don't know if he remembers what he wanted to say. But when it says that his words were rolling through the earth, it reminds me of how auditoriums work. Like you have the speaker on the stage and then the words just roll upwards through the stage, like up to the up to the back of the auditorium where everyone else is, so that everyone can hear it. It's like an echo, and it just rolls throughout the entire earth. So I'm thinking, like, I know the whole world is going to see him, but also I'm thinking too that as he's speaking, if like we're hearing him on this side of the planet, the words will end up echoing to somebody who's on the other side of the planet. At least that's how I'm understanding it.
School auditoriums, Nick.
Yeah.
That's how it sounds.
Yeah. Auditoriums. The echo. Yeah. And so, yeah. Amen. The word's rolling. Yeah. Because it's like the way thunder does it. Mm-hmm. You know, even it's far away. Because I remember a couple of times that we're like with a thunderstorm. And even if we're on the edge of a thunderstorm and it's just starting to come near us or it's passing us, let's say, mm-hmm. we've already gone through it. And we could tell there's hits, you know, thunder hits or lightning hits as it's passing us. And, you know, everybody does it. They count. You see the lightning, you count 1,000, 2,000. You could tell how far away it is. And because sometimes the further away it gets, sometimes the bass increases. So, yeah, he will allow his voice to go globally because they all got to hear it. Yeah, Gilbert wanted something to say there, too. But and the speed of sound, too, on top of all that. But the thing is, there have been, remember sometimes because I remember this, we're here at the house, we see the lightning strike, a few seconds later you hear the thunder, but the thunder's in the distance, and then you hear it rolling a little bit louder, then a little bit louder, and all of a sudden there's this really loud sonic boom shake of a bass when it finally gets to you. And it's like, whoa. And so, yeah, it's amazing how he created everything, because if you think about it, even with the atmosphere, we don't have a firmament anymore, but with the atmosphere, we're a closed system. And so if there's a loud noise on this planet, everybody on the planet's going to hear it. But yeah, Brother Gilbert had something to share there. Or what's this? Alex disregard me. Okay, no worries. I don't know who's talking there, so I'm going to drop the mic.
Can everybody hear me? Actually, this is just a reminder of what was read earlier in Mark 13:32, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels that are which are in heaven, but neither the Son but the Father. In the part of the words of a flock, there was written a part where it says in an where James White spoke that in an earlier English Bible, it says that it does say that, but it also says in that particular English Bible that in so many words, only because I forgot exactly word for word what was said, that the Lord will make it known what day and hour will take place. In other words, you know, it says that no man knoweth, but it will be made known. I just wanted to make that as a reminder of that we will be told what the, you know, when that will actually happen.
Yeah, exactly. And we went into, I think it's in the first part of Words of a Little Flock, in how we discovered, I don't know if y'all remember that, and I think we were stuck in one paragraph for like a whole day. Huh? It was page five? Okay, it's on page five. And I think it went so far as to say that Jesus knows the day or the hour, it's just that it's up to the Father to allow it to be announced. It's not up to Jesus as to when it's to be announced. Isn't that where we were going, like we was going, James White was going with that? I think that's how it was, is where Jesus does know the day and the hour, but it's up to the Father to say when to announce it. Page five, let's see. Is that it there, what Alvin just put in the room? Paragraph nine?
Paragraph, yeah.
Yeah, the supplement on Mark 13:32 that we talk about. So I made a note on that.
Oh, okay. So this is what Gilbert was talking about then too. So kind of like, it's more or less the same thing what he was saying. And let me just find it. Why does my screen do this?
Click on the bottom of it.
Yeah, that thing is the button and I keep doing it, but it keeps messing up. So we talked about that for a while too. Yeah. Amen, Lawrence. Cause we, I remember that's when we started to realize that, when the Holy Spirit starts moving, he keeps us in one area until we really super understand it. Like we lock it down. And so, yeah, that's why we kind of chuckle and says, oh, look at that. We got half a page done in this hour, you know, and it's just, but that was one of those days. That was one of the first days. So is it the whole thing here or is it just,
Yeah, so, can I speak by the name?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, I think, this was in July when we, were talking about, you know, the time, and this is a comment on, Mark 13:32, that the, day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So this two quotation implies that Jesus knows the time, but he has no liberty to say it since it involves secrecy, and he has to submit to the Father for the coming of the Son. For it is a God's mystery. So I want to read, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Christ plainly said that he himself could not make known the day or the hour of his second coming or second appearing. Had he been at liberty to make this time known, what need would there have been for him to exhort his followers to maintain an attitude of earnest watchfulness, living, working, and waiting as if their time was not their own, but the Lord's, cultivating fidelity, faith, and love, and purifying the soul through the truth. This in Review Henry Herald, December 27, 1898, paragraph 8. And in also paragraph 9 says, Christ told his disciples that the time of his coming was involved in secrecy. Yet notwithstanding this, there have been and will be those who claim to know when this great event will take place. Very earnest they are in trying to map out the future, which the Lord has placed in a thick cloud, and notwithstanding their failures, they continue their work, but their reasoning is false, and the Lord was warned them off the ground they occupy, for the coming of the Son of Man is God's mystery. And he quoted Deuteronomy 29:29, secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Yeah, that's all.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And I like the way the Lord says that, or Sister White says it here, that, well, even the scripture, Deuteronomy, you know, this, where it said that, let's see, secret things belong unto the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And it's just so kind to him to do that. Amen. Secret raptures, preachers take note. As it says here, there have been and will be those who claim to know when this great event will take place. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how many people have set dates, you know, like David Gates did it twice, Doug Batchelor. I don't think Doug Batchelor set a date though. Yeah. And then the Secret Rapture people left and right. Hal Lindsey set a date. Benny Hinn set a date. So they're all doing that. And they still are declared prophets because people are based on, you know, most people are based on the lies. Their faith is on the lies. All right. So is there any more comments? If there are, just turn on your mic and say, yep, and I'll drop mine. And, yeah, I remember that, Brother Anthony, September 19th of this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were going to say the second coming. I remember a couple of years ago, I did a video on it where when that one guy, he died of a stroke too later. I can't remember his name, but he had a couple of dates, October 23rd or something like that. or September 23rd. That's what it was. And I got a month beforehand. I says, nope, ain't going to happen. And I put out the video. Yeah, Harold that's the guy. That's the guy. See, there it goes again, my thing. I got to roll up until I see that little number, and then I push the down key. And still.
When you scroll up to the button now, all right, it should do
it. Right, it'll do it. So someone is saying, here, Campbell liked the soup. No, I think it's Harold. It was a different name. His last name was similar to Campbell. So let me just see. Let's see, false prophet. Harold.
Camping.
Harold Camping. Yeah. And then when it all failed, he tried another. He set a second date, and then that failed, and then he died. He had a stroke and died. And so, Harold Camping, yeah. So. All right, so let's pick up where we left off here at the double A, after the double A, and got a lot to read here before we get to the double B. And it says, the Israel of God stood with their eyes fixed upwards. You see, now this, and this is pertinent for today too, because everybody, no one realizes the term, the Israel of God. They all think Israel in the Middle East are the chosen people. And, but we all know the truth on that. So it says, the Israel of God stood with their eyes fixed upwards, listening to the words as they came from the mouth of Jehovah, and rolled through the earth like peals of loudest thunder. It was awfully solemn. At the end of every sentence, these saints shouted, glory, hallelujah. Their countenances were lighted up with the glory of God, and they shone with the glory of Moses' face did when he came down from Sinai. You know, that's when we start glowing. And the wicked could not look on them for the glory. And then drop the mic.
This is a Song of Solomon, right? Yeah, I figure.
What?
This is a Song of Solomon, right?
I don't know. I don't have the book open. Does it say Song of Solomon on the bottom?
The Song of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Let me see it. BB?
Yeah.
AA? Is that B? That's II. Wisdom?
Yeah, perhaps Solomon.
Yeah, it's probably Song of Solomon, I would think. Wisdom of Solomon? Yeah, well, it's Sister Maria just put in there. But that, I think that's, I don't know if that's how they used to call it or whatever.
Because I'm reading Song of Solomon 5:1-5 right now. I could read it anyway.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jeremiah there. It might be apocryphal.
Yeah, it seems like it.
All right, but yeah, go ahead and read it and see if it you know, actually makes any sense.
All right. Yeah, everyone's saying it's apocrypha. Yeah, I can read it anyway, just because. Song of Solomon 5:1-5. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock.
All right, well, that was nice, but it's not the same context. So it's more or less about, I mean, I look at the honeycomb there, and I see how Jesus ate the piece of the honeycomb in Luke 24, which locks it down that he didn't eat any meat after he ascended. and then the sleeping thing, Christ calling onto the Christian church 3 days after his passion on Calvary. And then, I mean, it kind of looks like, you know, I'd have to dig deeper into the Song of Solomon there. I never really went really deep into it, but yeah. What's that there? Yeah. Oh, I don't, yeah. Thanks, Jesse, but we don't want to read the apocryphal stuff, you know, because they didn't know back then. It's just like Luther didn't know certain things. And a lot of the pioneers in the SDA church didn't know that the apocryphal books were Vatican, you know, fiction for the most part. There's some good historic stuff in there, but that's about it. Doctrinally, it's a mess. And so let's go with the remainder of this, and then we'll have to get to CC. And it says, and when the never-ending blessing was pronounced on those who had honored God in keeping his Sabbath holy, there was a mighty shout of victory over the beast and over his image. And so, yeah, so whatever the Vatican did and whatever the Protestants were doing to try to shut us up, you know, there was a shout of victory by us, because that's the only reason we're surrounded, is because of all that they're trying to do against us at the end of Plague 6. And so it says, then commenced the Jubilee, when the land should rest, you know, 1,000 years, the land lays fallow, you know, just like the Jews were told every seventh year, to let the land lay fallow, don't plant the stuff so that it can replenish the soil. And so that's going to happen. But now a day equals like 1,000 years to the Father, so it'll last 1,000 years. And we're right there now. We're at 6,000 years right now with the planet. So anyway, goes on, I saw the pious slave rise in triumph and victory and shake off the chains that bound him, while his wicked master was in confusion and knew not what to do. For the wicked could not understand the words of the voice of God. You dropped the mic.
That's Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.
Nice. That is so nice. I mean, but it's sad, too, at the same time, because you might have loved ones that just aren't, they're just not going to get it, and that just, oh, I just, that tears at me, though, because I got a lot of siblings and kids, and anyway, it says, soon appeared the great white cloud. So let me drop the mic here.
Revelation 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle.
I probably should have just kept reading, because it says it looked more, you know, the cloud, the great white cloud, it looked more lovely than ever before. On it sat the Son of Man, and then let me see. We did not see Jesus. Okay, so yeah, go ahead with EE.
Luke 21:27. Jesus says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory."
It says, "At first we did not see Jesus on the cloud, but as it drew near the earth, we could behold his lovely person." This cloud, when it first appeared, was the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Yeah. Matthew 24:30. Our Lord says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory."
And then it says, "The voice of the Son of God called forth the sleeping saints, clothed with glorious immortality." And then I'll finish after you read GG.
Okay. John 5:25-28. Our Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice."
Amen. And then it says the living saints were changed, you know, the 144,000, because they're the only ones that are living at that time that are headed to heaven, everybody else on the planet is, you know, surrounding us, or, well, not in one big group. I mean, we're all over the planet, obviously, and they're surrounding us in every area. So the living saints were changed in a moment and caught up with them in the cloudy chariot. Yeah, and that, yeah, that's where it ends. So go ahead.
That's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Okay, it looked all over. Right? Is that, yeah, because you just read the HH run, right? Okay, so it looked all over glorious as it rolled upwards on either side of the chariot. Oh, there's that chariot. Remember we were talking about earlier? Were we doing this in the, when did we see what? Like chariots of salvation. Yeah, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 8. So that locks it down then there too. And so, okay, praise God. So it looked all over glorious as it rolled upwards. On either side of the chariot were wings. And in a moment, the car looked all over the chariot. Is this a single chariot for each person, or is this a massive chariot? And so, I think it's individual. I don't know. It says, on either side of the chariot were wings, and beneath it wheels. And as the chariot rolled upwards, the wheels cried, holy, and the wings. Oh, that sounds like the throne of Ezekiel chapter 1. So, yeah, that's the throne of God. And so as the chariot rolled upwards, the wheels cried, holy, and the wings, as they moved, cried, holy. And the retinue of holy angels around the cloud cried, holy, holy, holy. There you go. Those people that say there's Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. They got a problem here. So holy, holy, holy. One holy for each person in the Godhead. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And the saints in the cloud cried, glory, glory, hallelujah. And the cloudy chariot rolled upwards to the holy city. Jesus drew open, or threw open rather, but now here's the neat thing, the way she talks, and the way she, and the way the vision comes, because it's just like in dreams where certain things happen, and it just, a lot of time happens between the two events, because we know it's going to take us 7 days to get home because there's silence in the city for 7 days, because he's going to allow us the things that he created. So it says, Jesus threw open the gates of the golden city and let us in. And then that's I.
As Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in.
Yeah, keepeth the truth. What is that? Revelation 22:14 about the Ten Commandments? Let me just see real quick. Blessed are they that do his commandments, yeah, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. So we keep the truth. And so that's why we're getting in there. So there, that one locks it down. And so here we, and then it says, here we were made welcome for we had, no, I should have just kept reading. Here we were made welcome for we had kept the commandments of God and had a right to the tree of life. And you're probably going to read Revelation 22:14, right? Because I'm looking at it on a computer screen. It doesn't give the footnotes here.
Yeah, I'm going to read it.
Okay, go ahead.
Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city.
Amen and amen and amen. So what's these remarks on page 21? Is this the end of the book? This can't be the end of the book. I hope it's not the end of the book.
We have that much more to go.
21. We're on. It says 21 is all these remarks.
Oh, wow.
Remarks. Does it say remarks there?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Is it like an appendix? Or no. Is it a kidney? Now, let me see. The Temple of God. It's kind of like an appendix. Oh, there's the appendix.
Right.
Okay, we could do that next week then, because look at it. It's like 8:03. Oh, Joseph Bates is the remarks here. Which, James, at that time, everything was good. Joseph Bates was good. He never stepped off. We're thinking of the other guy. I was thinking of the other guy that stepped off, but then he came back. And a lot of people said he never came back, but I found out recently he did come back into the truth. Uriah Smith. Yeah, there was a bad. It's kind of like what the Catholic, Catholic, it's the same thing. Seventh-day Adventist leaders were given a bad testimony towards Kellogg. For many years, SDAs to this day think Kellogg was anti-SDA or whatever. Turns out Kellogg, the SDA church did a smear campaign on him because he was backing Sister White. He was protecting her. And he was doing everything he could to show her up the truth that she, because they were slamming her, but they were doing it so stealthily that she had to have someone step up. And he did. He took that spot. And this is your book, so mm-hmm. You got to put it there. Okay, my book. I'm going to change my little sticky note. Is there any other questions or comments? And if you want now, like since we're just fellowshipping, should we have open mic? Just let everybody chime in, or I don't know how.
I posted two texts in here with regards to the chariots of salvation in Psalms 18:10 and Psalm 68:17. It's really interesting. It says, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yeah, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And in 1768 Psalms, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. So that chariot is actually the, you know, with the angels like that. He's riding it.
Oh, so what you're saying is each angel has a chariot, but then Christ has his own, which is obviously more glorious.
Amen.
Wow. Oh, go ahead, Brother Gilbert.
Nope. I just wanted to say that, nope, it's not the end of the book. If you go to page 23, it says the temple of God. We got more to go.
Okay, good. Page 23. Yeah, because it's kind of like the temple of God, the judgment. And then it goes to the appendix. See, the appendix talks about Ellen White statements not reprinted, whatever that means. And the first E.G. White book, The Shut Door Defined, I like that part. Oh, no, I just skipped a page. Mrs. White's explanation, omitted statements. Oh, okay, some good stuff in here. So we'll go through all that, I guess. And then we're going to have to think of, I think we already figured that out. Are we going to do Christ and His Righteousness next? After we finish the Word of the Little Flock, I think. I can't remember exactly what the Lord was revealing. Huh? That's what happened. And then all of a sudden, the Lord moved us to go ahead and go for it, because since we ignore the Apocrypha in here, we'll ignore it in there. Because it was Ezra was in one of those books. Okay. But see, look, my it just doesn't work right. It just doesn't work right. But, Kellogg, yeah. He had a lot of good stuff in there. So, let's see, look at that. And so what I do is what I've been doing is I scroll up and I click the number and then it locks it in, but it'll mess up again. Yeah, I know.
That's what you've been doing.
Yeah, but even if I don't click in there, it'll mess up, or I don't know, or if I shut off my mic, I think that's what it does. Any click inside Telegram messes me up. So, was there any other comments, or?
Dr. Kellogg repented. He never went bad.
No. Yeah, he never went bad, Brother Stephen. He never went bad. As a matter of fact, vbates.com, I think they have an actual book proving it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because I read it, and
We read it in a women's study some years ago.
Let me go to VBates real quick here. I don't like using this browser at all. It's slow. See? Mm-hmm.
Anybody wants to speak?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Let me drop the mic.
Yes, so
To Brother Stephen's question when he said, did Wagner give up the message? I had replied and said Wagner gave up the message. I should have been a little bit more clearer. As far as E.J. Wagner, the one who wrote Christ and His Righteousness, I don't know about his life after the fact, but I know his father, J.H. Wagner, was an adulterer and had part in changing the testimonies for the church of Sister White. He fell off the path. So just to make clear, if we're talking about Wagner and he fell off the path, that was his father. The son, though, E.J. Wagner, I don't know anything about him as far as after the fact, and I don't think he fell off the path to my understanding.
Hey, remember, I remember you showing that to me too, Brother Anthony, I don't know, about a month ago, was it? Something like that. But this Christ, our righteousness, I have a little note in here, corrupted book with a big question mark. It doesn't say who wrote it. Arthur G. Daniels, Christ, our righteousness. And V. Bates signed off on it. So I guess that's what it was. There was like a different Daniels. Oh, that's what it was, yeah. Because there was another Arthur Daniels, but he spelled his last name differently. It still said Daniels, but there was one L. Is that what it was? That's, I think, is what it was. I got to send you those notes. Daniels. Okay, yeah, he's got the notes on Daniels. Okay. Yeah, because I mean, you already sent them to me, didn't you? And then we were discussing it. Oh, Sean's got his hand up. Oh, you're so cute. Am I on the right track here, Anthony? Because I know the Wagoner's discussion and the Kellogg thing, but I don't know. Because we got to do something with this righteousness thing. I mean, the Lord has been really on me about it. About eventually we as a church family have to read this together. Okay, but we got to make sure it's the right one. But if Echo signed off on it, it's, you know, I'm not going to give him the say-so on everything. But yeah, go ahead, Anthony. Sean's waving.
No, I just don't want to be rude and then just chime in. So that's why I respectfully ask first before going beforehand. Anyway, yeah, those notes on A.G. Daniels and as far as where he stood, yeah, I think I did send you them, but you did ask if me and Danny could make a compilation list and then send it to you so you could put it on the site. I remember you asking me to do that beforehand. We could still do that. So A.G. Daniels, as far as he's concerned, he's okay. Me and Danny have been reading his book, and his book is 100% safe. And E.J. Wagner's Christ and His Righteousness, it would definitely behoove us if we would read that too, because what was it? One of the brothers said to me and Danny that it would be good if we as a church read both books to see what we can get out of both of them.
Yeah, but let Sean chime in. He's got his hand up quite a while there. Go ahead there, Sean.
Okay. Sub blessings, for those still in it. Anyways, so I was going to actually bring up kind of what Anthony was bringing up. It is A.G. Daniels. His book, the only thing with his book is, of course, there's some quotes in there from, like, Desire of Ages and stuff that's edited. But other than that, he's good. And when it comes to E.J. Wagner? E.J. Wagner's Christ Our Righteousness, his thing was he had a partial misunderstanding on the Godhead. So that's probably why, also like what Anthony was saying, you know, like going through both, at least going through one of them. But if you read A.G. Daniels' one, he gives actually a whole history. So like he gives a history of things, and then he talks about Christ Our Righteousness and his thought process, and then he shares a whole bunch of SLP quotes. Whereas E.J. Wagner, his is more in regards to, like, you know, his thoughts in regards to it and however many pages, like 50 or something pages in regards to it. Yeah. Okay. Good to meet
you. Okay. Yeah. So did he put your mic back on, Sean, if you can. If Now, A.G. Wagoner, the other Christ our righteousness, or Christ and his righteousness, something like that. I know he had an issue with the Godhead. Does he mention that in, does he call him, was it he the one that called Jesus a created? No, I think Uriah Smith did that with the created being thing. But what was his, did he say it in the book?
He did say something like that in the book. He did start trying to mention Christ as like a created being at some point inside of his Christ and his righteousness book. I don't know. They're similar titles, but yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then I would think it'd be a little dangerous to read it because of the babes. You know, I'm concerned for the babes in Christ. And so as long as we know, because a lot of people, even back then, were quoting from Desire of Ages. They didn't know the book was compiled and, you know, messed with. Even when Sister White was alive, right? Because, so you give them benefit of the doubt on that. But we can just skip over it or look for it in a different book. Because that's another thing. Because the Desire of Ages, she never actually wrote the book. It's just a big old compilation and nobody knows that. But I remember trying to read that book twice. In both a couple of years apart, you know, Desire of Ages. And each time I did, I can only get the first time about halfway through, the second time about a third of the way through, and I put it down. It just doesn't flow. Something's missing here. And so I just stopped reading it. And then I found out a couple, 3 years later that she never wrote it. But there's a lot of compilations in there. And with the compilations, a lot of their statements are in there. Like if I read read the 1888 or the 1911, we would realize something ain't right here, you know, because they claimed that the 1884 was too big, so they were going to make it smaller, and so they were condense it or edit it down for the benefit of the people, and instead they added 200 pages. So lying is a part of their fruit, if you will. No, we got sound. I just muted my mic, you know. All right, I guess we're done, right? I don't know. Next week we'll pick it up on that page that we left, page 21, I think it was. Yep. Yeah. I got to stick it back in my tablet. Did you lock your book down too?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is somebody... Yeah, good idea. Is there anybody got any questions or comments they want to share before we close? Oh, Alex had an idea. Forwarded from Alex. Hold on. Oh, I know what you mean there, Brother Gilbert. It's hard. It's hard to do it. Yeah. And in my personal library, I like SOP, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the testimonies. But I don't have time to read all that stuff anyway. I like to jump in them to verify statements in the scriptures, but a lot of time I look at the date before I even look at the quote. So I know exactly where you're coming from, brother. But what is this from Alex? Sean just put in. It says, all the nature commotion, could that be the earth unpeeling and flattening like an orange peel? Yeah, like we were talking about that earlier, like when the eastern sky splits, you get that scroll, because it splits like a scroll, and that's like a turbulent, but it's a planetary turbulent. So it's going to look at the atmosphere as scrolling away, like on the tips of an airplane taking off, only it's massive, and it's got girth, and there's things in it, because it's going to be awful windy, and it's going to suck things right off the planet, I would think. So and then he goes on, so that all the inhabitants see Jesus at the same time. Yep. Heaven's opening and closing in that context sounds like sections of earth coming out through space and the atmospheres. The atmosphere is readjusting. That could be true too, yeah. Or it's just like we were talking about earlier. It was like they have the Lord grabbing the planet like a basketball with two hands and squeezing it a little bit and then splitting it like cracking an egg open and having both sides of the planet face east when he's coming. That's another thing, because that would cause that, you know, the atmosphere to turn away like a scroll, you know, because, and the mountains shake like reeds in the wind, and the islands to disappear with their living cargo. Yeah, and it would happen as fast as he does it. It's going to, like if we were on the moon and watching it, it's kind of like looking at an airplane in the sky. It kind of looks like it's going slow because it's so far away. Yeah, it's going to look like slow, but it's actually going crazy fast, and it's causing the atmosphere to scroll up. And so, yeah. Well, I would think he'd scroll. It would face east. If it faced, if he comes, it would have to face towards him coming. He's coming out of the east, so it would have to face, kind of like the sanctuary with the one doorway. So, what are the best books of E.G. White writings? Go to any, all the books that are on vbates.com. You know, there's anything there, you know, but to start you off, SOP 1, 2, 3, 4. And it starts, you know, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4. And that would be, I don't know what SOP, well, I got them right here. Let me give you the dates. SOP 4 is obviously 1884. Get that out of there. Don't let it slide into the printer there, though. SOP 1 is 1870, if you're writing this down. SOP 2, 1877. SOP 3, 1878. And then, of course, 1884 for the SOP 4. Yeah, that's what me and Franny are. We're almost done, too. You know, we only got, like, And here's another thing too. If you come across a, how the SDA Church does it, they just go great controversy, like page 649. Keep in mind that with the appendix, the real great controversy only has 506 pages. So if you see it going over 506 pages, you already know it's a bogus book. So, but that's with the appendix, and that's just the 1884. It's not all. I mean, if you put them all together, it'd be an awful lot of pages, because that's, it's a four volume set. Oh, yeah, thank you. Who put that? Lawrence put it in. See the scrolling of that airplane taking off? That's just an airplane sucking in the clouds and the moisture around it, and then you get those little ripples at the end of the plane. And then if you ever see a plane taking not taking off but already in flight, breaking the sound barrier, and you see that cloud forming at the nose right where the sound barrier is being broken, that's the thing to see. But check that out. That's sucking in, and that's just an airplane. It's not a planet. It's like a smaller than a dot when it comes to a whole planet. Picture the entire planet moving to face east all in one side. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Lawrence. That's breaking this. Well, that one's coming off. It's like it's traveling towards the back of the plane. But it starts at the nose and runs to the back. And it's instantaneous. All of a sudden, it just disappears. Yeah, like that. Oh, that one there is doing it just on the back end. Thank you, Alex. You know, that one looks, that's breaking the sound barrier. Yeah, yeah. Anybody underneath there is breaking windows. And that's why it's out in the desert they're doing that stuff, and he's doing it low.
They used to do it when I was a kid.
Me too.
Yeah. Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago, we had the sonic
boom. Yeah. We always, because we lived near Chicago. We, well, when I was a baby and for 5 years, I was in the city of Chicago, but so I don't remember any of that. But we lived out in the south suburbs, like Bridgeview is where we started out after we left Chicago. And we heard these sonic booms all the time, and then they passed the law. I think when we were teenagers, they passed a law saying the airplanes, any airplanes in O'Hare and Midway were not allowed to throttle up until, I think, what, 10,000 feet up or something like that?
Yeah, but then when we had, we were married, had kids and poles, and we heard one too.
Well, that was probably a jet. Because me and Luke ran outside the one time that jet went overhead, and it was a fighter jet. Like when we first moved in here, well, even before we bought this house, the first thing I did, well, after I looked at the basement, I wanted to see if the basement had any leaks, dry as a bone. And the reason I went right to the basement because we just got done with 11 days of rain. So that's the first thing I did is I went to the basement, no leaks. And then the second thing I did, I went out into the woods in the back, and it was the first time I ever prayed back there. And I was there, and as I was back there praying, two fighter jets came in, low, and they kind of went passed each other, and then they turn around and then went over the house again. So they passed each other in, right over my head, and then they came around again and then went over the house and again. And I thought that was kind of cool, but at the same time, I'm thinking, why? Because there's no airports anywhere near me. But then again, you know, these guys fly at 500 miles an hour, so an airplane, an airport doesn't have to be down the road for them, you know. So, but let's see, I just don't want to. So, amen and amen. But yeah, now there is another company out there that sells the books, and they claim them to be originals, but they're not. And the guy that was doing it just died recently. He died a year after Vern Bates, and he was the one that gave Vern Bates a lot of trouble. And Vance Farrell, that was his name. But he was a nice guy to me. You know, Vance Farrell, when I contacted him, I wanted that encyclopedia. What was it, the health encyclopedia? It's called?
I think so.
Yeah, it's right up there. Oh, there it is. Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, big fat book. And I called him, and I he knew who I was. And I thought, well, that's cool. And so I says, yeah, I'd like to get one of those books. And so he I says, yeah, but I can only afford one because it's like $86 on the it said on the back. No, Vance Farrell, not the Gonzalez guy. Yeah, he was even he that guy. Just keep that guy in your prayers. But Vance Farrell and Vern Bates. I mean, there's you know the, what. Vern told me, and then what his sister, his daughter told me, that he went over to go visit Vance to try to mend the fence and you know and bring the olive branch. And when he opened up the door, they, and Vance saw who it was, he slammed the door in his face. And Vern drove all that way, hundreds of miles. Anyway, I liked Vance. You know, I never knew he had that issue with Vern. I really know what their argument was. But I called him and I asked him for the book, $86. I says, yeah, I can only afford one. He goes, all right, no problem. So I sent him the money. He sent me a whole case of the books. Remember?
Yeah.
And we gave them out to everybody. We got one left.
And then when we went to order again, he wouldn't sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, then he only gave me one, but I think that could have been after he died, though.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because then Mary Beth told me right after he died, Vance's son called Mary Beth and asked for the books. And she goes, nope, because he wanted the books, wanted Mary Beth to do the printing, and then he would resell the books. And, but no, Gonzalez, that Gonzalez guy you're talking about there, I think you're talking about, Richard Gonzalez, he is still alive, and he needs prayer because he does the same thing. And he'll actually be on camera with an Echoes from the Past book in his hand. And you could tell because Echoes has those blue lines on an angle all over the books, right? That's how Vern made them. And then when you turn the book around to the back, you see the label, which is printed on the book. It's not a label. It's just... you got that blank spot where it has Echoes from the Past and the address and all that. But then Richard was doing it on a camera. He's waving the book. He's talking as he's preaching or something. And you see the back of the book, and there's this huge label on the back covering up Vern's label. And then he sells it for 2-3 times the price. And so, yeah, that's not good. They should not be doing that. That's fraud. And it's copyright infringement. It's all that stuff. And that's why we don't sell anything. Like when we give out the books, we buy them from Sister Mary Beth, and we give them to people. We don't sell them. Somebody did try doing that, though, with the Arlac book, if you all remember. Somebody, I don't know who it was, but we contacted Amazon, and they shut them down. But somebody on Amazon was selling the Arlac book or trying to. We contacted Amazon and let them know it's copyright infringement. We did not give them permission or anything like that. And so they all of a sudden, bam, they were gone. They shut them down. And then something else happened. Sister Mindy saw this. I can't remember which book it was. Is she still here? Because I can't remember which book it was that she saw on Amazon. And I looked, or no, I was on eBay, I think. And people were selling it. It could have been a Yarlick book again, but I looked. I couldn't find it. So, and then there was a guy in Trinidad. Because a brother in the faith contacted me, and I got him some of the books, but I sent them to him for free. Okay, Sister Mindy says it was the Arlac book. Okay. And so, but yeah, some guy in Trinidad contacted me. I said, look, from now on, just contact me first if you're looking for a book, and we'll get it to you. I don't remember who he contacted, but the book was $8 at V-Bates. And he bought it from somebody. I don't think it was Gonzalez. It could have been somebody else. But the book cost him $800, and to ship it was $80. So $880. I says, brother, I'm sorry you got ripped off and up, but that'll all, it'll all be taken care of at the end of the 1,000 years, and so it's no big deal. But yeah, we'll, I says, just, if you need books, just let us know. We'll get them to you. And he goes, do I need to pay the shipping? He says, no, we'll get that. We'll pay the shipping too. But, we don't want to make that a habit because that can get crazy expensive. And we always vet the situation because if somebody contacts us and asks for 12 books in a row and says, I don't know this person from Adam, I'm not sending him 12 books. I'll send him one. So. Yeah, amen. That's what his rent was, probably. Yeah, good point, Sister Danny. I think Danny said that, right? Oh, no. Who said, I don't know who, because it doesn't have their name. It just has a little picture, so I don't know who said that. Was it Danny? Okay, it is Danny. So, okay. But, yeah, that's it's rent. It kind of reminds me, remember that vet we used to take the animals to in Hoopston? Whatever their bills were for the week is what it cost us to get our dog fixed. But then you found a real good one out here, and but now we got no puppies left. We got no puppies, no kitties, no kidding. We got rodents, squirrels, and chipmunks, and mice, and voles, and moles, and that's about it for the rodents that I can think of. Oh, look at that. That's Darren Stevens. From The Bewitched. I used to watch that when I was a little kid. Oh, we're going to pray. Yeah. We didn't close yet. Could somebody close, or I'll do it if nobody does. Okay, please bow your hearts if you're kneeling. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you so much for these books, Father. Thank you so much for the hearts of the fathers being turned to the children and then our hearts being turned to the fathers. Thank you so much for helping us in our studies and giving us this inside information and the studies that they did to help build our studies even more. Thank you so much for that, Father. It's helping us better prepare for everything that's headed our way, and we so need this, and we thank you for it. Thank you for everybody that was able to attend tonight. And thank you for the internet working out okay and all that. And thank you so much for this week that you have put before us and for blessing this week and every opportunity that we have to go forth to share our faith in Christ, even if it's just a smile when someone expects a frown. So thank you, Father, for all these things in the name of your precious Son, our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.